Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. I am Dave Warnocky and I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins. Hello.
Hey, Jess.
Hi, team.
You are good. You are very good.
I wanted to say the same thing as Matt. I didn't think he'd say hi, Jess.
What did you think he would say?
You'd committed to it and you couldn't bail. You weren't able to think quick enough to get out of it.
I could never think quick enough.
They're like Ron Burgundy reading an auto cue.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, well, Jess is actually on auto cue, which is one of the strangest things about this show.
Yeah,
but it works.
We've got to try and fit around her somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, do you notice that someone tweeted maybe last week saying that they're 30 or 40 episodes in, they've started from the beginning, and they're wondering if you're ever able to concisely explain what the show's about?
No, is the answer.
Well, they're at episode 40. I reckon I probably gave up about that mark.
Right.
I don't even
remember you trying to do it.
I feel like they've probably also got the idea of the show by then, too.
When was the last time I actually said what we do on this show is?
Oh, yeah, actually.
I probably should, but just in case.
I'm just out of curiosity. What is it
we do on this show, Dave?
Well, what we do is we take a little bit of sugar. That's Matt. A little bit of spice. That's Jess.
Hello.
A little bit of everything nice. Also Jess. Then I come along and try and explain the show. And what I say is, hello, welcome to Do Go On, the podcast show where each of us do a report, but not at the same time. One at a time.
Wow, it's been a while.
Alternating weeks, and the other two sit back and chat over them. And then at the end of the episode, there's fun facts sometimes.
It was like you were chatting over yourself then.
That was nice.
I was trying to give like a little demonstration of what they will expect for the next hour of their life.
Right.
Thank you for calling me Spice as well. I like that.
And everything nice.
And I got both.
Everything nice is much better than Spice.
I know. Well, my friend Mark told me I was spicy one time. He meant it sort of like sassy.
Is he from the Pajama Man?
Yes.
Is that
my only friend, Mark?
I thought you were going to mention Mark from Auntie Donna. That was my go-to, Mark.
No, he doesn't call me spicy. He calls me Melbourne comedy sweetheart.
Oh.
Sarcastically.
Oh, I was going to say, because spicy and sweetheart are very...
Two very different things.
Very different.
Very different things.
But all things nice. That is you. And Matt, sugar.
Because
you're bad
sugar.
For you.
That's right.
No. Naturally sweet.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
And also good on cornflakes.
And good for exfoliating.
And also good for ruining cars. Little sugar in the gas tank. Learned that from The Simpsons.
Oh, there we go.
Also good in small portions only.
Yes.
Yes. Good for horses to eat in cubes.
Is that a thing? I've never seen a horse eat a cube, but I've never seen a horse eat.
Okay.
Dave, have you never seen a horse eat?
Oh, actually, no, I've seen one eat an apple and it made me laugh.
Have you ever seen one piss?
Because piss.
Yeah.
You ever seen a horse piss?
When I saw a horse piss as a child, it was something that really blew me away.
Is it a real piss?
Yeah, because they're one of those ones that start with it inside of them and it drops out. And it's big. I'm talking about the D.
Not the piss. Not the piss.
The P is big too, but the D is enormous.
But when you say it blew you away, was it pissing onto you?
It was like a pressure hose.
You were just floored by the pee.
I was in a big paddock as well. I was like, if you looked at me from a distance, it would have looked like there was a mini, like a localized cyclone or hurricane. And it was just sending me right across the meadow and the paddock.
Wow.
The meadow was next to the paddock. If they're different things.
What is the difference? I feel like meadows have like little flowers in them.
Yeah.
Paddocks are a bit more rough.
Yeah.
I feel like the difference is a fence.
Interesting. Right.
Interesting. Fence a meadow, you got a paddock. But you don't have a gym.
Okay.
Just saying.
What were we talking about again?
Horse piss, apparently.
Horse piss.
And how you're a sugary sugar daddy.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
that's right.
Because you're a sugar daddy.
And also, sugar is also one of my nicknames.
Is it?
Yeah.
From?
Matt Sugar Tits Stewart. Well, it's part of a nickname.
Who calls you that?
Gary Lyon.
Gary Lyon calls you Sugar Tits?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Not the one from...
No, I know, yeah. No.
Radio.
No. A different Gary Lyon.
Yeah. Spells it only with one R.
Interesting.
Well, it's not. Why would you lie about that to our listeners? They can see right through you, Jess. So.
Yeah.
Nice try, though. Thanks,
sorry, Sugar Tits.
Save it. No worries. Spicy dick.
Most of the listeners are like, who the fuck's Gary Lyon?
They're also like, why are they still talking?
So it's my turn to do a report on a topic.
Yes.
That has been suggested by a listener. But we always start with a question. So I've got a question for you two guys. And that question is, which country fought World War II for the longest and in some ways lost the race but won the marathon?
What the? Okay. That's a long question.
There's a World lot War of info II. In that question, right? World War II, they lost the race.
So they lost the...
So I'd say that's...
But won the marathon because they just kept fighting.
So they won in the end. So I think England came in... No, I'm thinking World War One. World War Two. How'd that one start again, Jess?
Wrong person.
Okay, so Germany was involved.
Yes.
They invaded Poland.
Yes,
that is right.
So were Poland in early?
That's pretty early.
But then they sort of were they fighting or were they
I
just?
I don't
totally...
fully understand his question.
All right.
I think it's someone in the Allies who was on the ropes for a while. I'm going to say
no. It's the opposite, Ray Wans.
So they recovered after they lost the war.
No, one of the bad guys who kept fighting even though they lost the war.
Oh, okay. So there's Russia. It's not Russia. There's Germany, Japan. They're the big ones.
It is one of
Italy.
The two big ones.
Okay.
So let's narrow
it
down. I'm
going to say it is probably Japan.
It is Japan.
Wait, so your topic is Japan?
No. So it's about...
So confused. I was like, cool, I guess. All right.
My topic, suggested by listener Stephanie, is the Japanese holdouts across the islands of the Pacific Theater, which is the Pacific area of the war, many of whom, either because they were unaware the war was over or because they didn't want to surrender, kept fighting sometimes for decades after World War II finished.
No way!
I'm going to have a particular story about a particular holdout whose name is Hiro Onoda, and that is the topic of today's episode.
Cool.
The life and times of Japanese holdout Hiro Onoda.
Onoda.
I've never heard the term holdout before.
Me either. I like it.
Yeah. People who don't take...
It stays.
Can't take no for an answer.
It sounds like the...
You thought I might turn on it, but I like it.
So far, so good. Hiro Onoda was born on the 19th of March, 1922.
A good year.
A bloody good year.
22.
In a village in the Wakayama Prefecture of South Japan, he was reportedly a stubborn child and defiant in every single way.
Mm-hmm. I can see
Name
that.
Name all the ways, Jess.
All the ways you can be defiant?
Yeah, because every single way.
Not eating your broccoli.
Tick.
That's one of the ways.
To be defiant.
This is going
to
be a long list, I think.
All right, Jess, let's keep it to top 10. But obviously that is in the top 10, so you're fine.
Do 10?
That's fine. Not eating broccoli.
Not doing your homework.
Tick.
talking back to your mum.
Oh, double tick. So that's two. Because he talked back. When she said don't talk back, he talked back
again.
So that's four.
Defiant. Refused to wear underwear. Flat out refused.
Defiant and stupid.
Well, okay.
It's a hygienic thing.
Underwear. Hero,
please.
No,
you're not.
Yeah, and leading on from that, wouldn't wipe his bum.
Ooh, defiant and stupid.
A real messy. Messy
yeah. All right, well, that's six.
Defiant. He defiantly...
You
remember a couple.
You never rebelled as a child, did you?
No.
Except by not wearing underwear and not wiping your bottom,
apparently. I definitely did both of those things, thank you.
Did you eat broccoli, though?
Yeah, but only the tops, because I thought they were little trees, and if I didn't eat the bottom, then that would keep growing.
Well, he refused both the top and the bottom, so that's seven.
We've still got three to go.
How else can you be defiant, Matt? You were a bad boy.
He wouldn't brush his knees. He wouldn't eat
his... Would not brush his knees.
He wouldn't eat the tops of the chairs, and he wouldn't eat the middle of the... Rhinoceros. All right, next. Keep moving, Dave. Do go on.
Well, I was actually about to read through the list, but you just said it word for word, so I won't have to skip over that. Scroll through. He said,
"We've all got a script, mate."
Onoda, bad boy, said of his early life. When I was six, I got into a fight with one of my friends. I started swinging a knife about and hurt him. My mother said the family could not tolerate me. She took me to the family shrine to commit harikiri, which is the ritual suicide by self disembowelment with a knife. Originally reserved for samurai, he continues, she said a thug like me should kill himself. I wonder why I couldn't cut my belly. Maybe because I was just a kid. So he didn't kill himself at age six.
His mum took him to kill himself.
And he defiantly said no.
That is defiant. That was number 11. He didn't want to make a cape that day.
That's fucked.
So he survived his early years. And at age 17, he spent some time working for the Tajima Yoko Trading Company over in China before enlisting in the Japanese Imperial Army when he was 20 years old. The year was 1942, and Japan, known then as the Empire of Japan...
He was 20.
A good age.
That's right.
Some real easy math.
The Empire of Japan at the time had been fighting against China since 1937 and were officially part of World War II... right from the start in 1939, hoping to take over and dominate Asia. That's what Japan's trying to do at the time.
Asia? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Where were they trying to dominate?
Asia. I don't know what.
I just can't pick up the dialect.
Asia.
Why are you saying it weird?
You say it weird.
No.
Asia.
Well, now you're both saying it that way, so I think I'm wrong.
Asia.
You're saying it funny, Jess. Stop it. It's Asia.
Just a bit of background here. The Axis Alliance, a.k.a. the bad guys, was made up of Germany, Japan, as Matt said, and Italy.
Do you not think that's like a funny combination?
Yeah, well, two of the three make great cuisine.
Two of the three? What are you not a fan of?
German sausage.
Sure. Italian, big fan.
Big Italian fan, big Japanese fan. I would say my axis of awesome food would be Japan.
Yep.
Would also be Italy and Mexico.
Yeah, I would go Italy, Mexico, Thai.
Ooh, good.
Yep. Big fan of Thai.
Oh, okay, well, I'll round this out and I will go Mexico, Italy, Spanish.
Interesting. Ooh. Interesting. Very good. Yes. There you go. You're learning
a little Rioja.
Bit. You're learning a little bit more about us, listeners.
Bit of...
We all like tacos.
So now you know
what do you call a little Spanish food again?
Tapas.
Little tapas.
What did you call it?
Rioja. I think that's something else. I knew it was wrong instantly. But I recovered seamlessly. You'll be able to edit around that, Dave, and make me sound pretty smart, I reckon.
I'll just edit you saying Rioja six times in a row. Rioja, Rioja, Rioja. Do go on. So the bad guys, Germany, Italy, Japan. I'm just giving context for any non-World War II buffs. By the way, this is, I've decided, our third one in a trio of World War II badasses.
Cool, okay.
So we had three Monties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one, the Monty. We had Mad Jack Churchill.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have Hiro Onoda.
Yeah.
I realized that when I was writing the report. I was like, World War II, trilogy. Different time.
Mm.
Oh, badasses.
Mm. Great.
The war really kicked off for Japan in 1941 with what is called the Pacific War, when on the 7th of December 1941, Japan invaded Thailand attacked the British possessions of Malaya, which is now Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, as well as United States military bases in Hawaii, Guam, and the Philippines. And this also included the famous Pearl Harbor bombings.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize that they did all that simultaneously, which is, you know, biting off a lot to chew there.
It's crazy.
These attacks led the USA, Britain, China, Australia, and several other states to formally declare war on Japan. So that's when they're fully in.
How do you officially declare war?
An email these days. It used to be a letter.
So what would the email say?
Sometimes for 5 to 6 working days, you wouldn't realize you were at war with someone.
That's
dear
interesting.
Dear sirs, or dear whoever it may concern.
But
whom it may concern.
War's on with you. Party two, us and you. It's down to us. Let's do it. Want to punch on, or, you know, war or whatever. Hey, let me know anyway, either way.
Kind regards.
Cheers. Australia.
Australia. That's how we would start a war.
Letters is that you couldn't delete anything, so once you wrote it, as Matt was finding
I
there,
think the way we
you
would
had to keep it.
Dictation.
The way we would write it would be... yeah, whatever America said, we agree.
Yeah.
We also war on whoever they said that against.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Why are you doing that voice?
Because we're that little dork friend who's trying to be tough with his big mate.
Yeah, cool. We're tough. Shit. Like, you come here and say that. What's that? We're 24 hours away. You can't be bothered flying here. Good call.
Oh, thank God. Thank God.
I reckon we've saved ourselves a lot of war just from being so far away. Know what I mean?
From what?
Everything
not that far
else?
Away from New Zealand.
Good point. But we're mates.
Well, yeah. Sure.
For now.
But for how long?
I'm going to stop talking because I don't know anything about anything. Enjoy the podcast, boys. I'll be here for me.
For the second time, I'm going to tell myself to do go on.
Dave, do go on.
So that's the war. That's where we're at. Hiru is signed up. And he attends the Nakano School in Tokyo. It's the key training camp for intelligence agents, where he was trained in propaganda, sabotage, martial arts, and guerrilla warfare.
Sounds like my journalism degree. Propaganda mostly, but then whatever you said after that, I was like, I'm just gonna say the joke anyway.
Sabotage, aka fake news.
I know, I heard, but like martial arts, aka research, and...
aka class report.
Yeah.
And I imagine you were also part of the commando class, as he was?
Oh, I went commando, all right.
Wait, I thought you just said before that you definitely...
As a kid, I definitely wore underwear.
Gotcha.
In my commando classes... No underwear.
You took it very literally. Commando class.
All right.
Ready for this.
If you went in there, they ripped them off and dipped them in a stein of beer and threw them up on the big floating pig hanging from the ceiling. It's a thing they do in Oktoberfest in one of the tents.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that happen to everyone, Matt, or just you?
No,
they take your underwear off?
Yeah. I was there a little while ago, so I imagine in the last 100 years, maybe it's developed since this. But in the Hofbrau tent,
because your one was launched by Adolf Hitler himself.
Yeah,
right?
Hitler was there. He was doing inspections. But if people would, they'd find if you had any on, then they'd rip them off.
Like, and you say pants off, then them off?
No, rip them off while you're still wearing pants. Like in a painful way.
So, like,
and then they dip them in a beer, and it wasn't a pig, but it was like a big floating cloud thing. Like what do you call those sort of things? Just a big decoration in the ceiling, and they throw it up there. Pretty fucked.
And
they'd rip off your undies.
Yeah, weird, right?
That's real weird.
Did that happen to you, or did you...
No, it didn't happen to me, because I
got
worded up.
Because you weren't wearing undies.
I got worded up by friends... before going in. So I just dropped them down a couple of inches. Low rider.
Nice.
People were none the wiser.
But were people still checking you though? Like, is that, like, you constantly try and have a beer and people are like,
I think,
hey mate, you got any of that?
Were you wearing like seamless undies so there was no lines in your pants?
Were you wearing
no
a
VPL.
You wearing a G-bang?
Yeah, were you wearing a G-banger?
I think they'd be more dangerous, wouldn't they?
Well, it's less material to rip.
But on the way up, it's like fishing wire.
Oh man, Dave knows, he wore it for a week.
It's true.
And he documented it on YouTube, check it out.
Please.
It's very funny.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
We talked about it on First Date.
But had you watched it?
I wasn't able to watch the whole thing through, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's mostly the hair that puts me off. It's mainly the hair. It's mainly watching young Dave feels creepy.
It's not my naked body. It's my haircut that puts me off.
Yeah, it's not good.
Such an odd haircut.
It's a real Bieber fringe.
The more we talk about it, the more people are Googling it.
You're welcome.
Check the comments. All right.
Also, then look at First Day with Jess, please. Thank you. Do go on.
All right, back to the story. So he's part of the commando class. He is...
Okay, I was wondering where...
I forgot what
he is not wearing a G-bag.
Interesting.
In 1943, Onoda's own father, who was also a soldier, was killed in action in China.
Hmm.
So this is while he's still training. He learns of his father's death. Then on December the 26th, 1944, Onoda was sent to Lubang Island in the Philippines, which is an island 93 miles or 150K southwest of the Filipino capital, Manila. One of their many islands out there. Onoda deployed with four other men, and they were ordered to stay completely out of sight, collect information on the enemy's movements, disrupt those movements, and launch a guerrilla attack wherever possible. They were told to particularly target the island's airstrip and the pier at the harbour, pretty much fuck shit up and cause mischief.
Interesting. Interesting your interpretation there.
And?
Cause mischief, they're just like doing a bit of graffiti.
Yeah.
Kicking over some letterboxes.
Playing hooky.
Mischievously.
Before they were deployed, the commander of their division said, "You are absolutely forbidden to die by your own hand. It may take 3 years, it may take five, but whatever happens, we'll come back for you. Until then, so long as you have one soldier, you are to continue to lead him. You may have to live on coconuts. If that's the case, live on coconuts. Under no circumstance are you to give up your life voluntarily."
I mean, it feels like not really something they can...
Police.
Tell you to, yeah, or enforce, yeah.
If you take your life, I will punish you.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm coming for your life. I'll bring you back to life, and then...
I'm going to end it again.
I will take you to Oktoberfest, and I'll make you wear 15 pairs of underpants. I'll put you in that tent, and I'll hear your screams for weeks. Some would take this order more seriously than others. Cough, cough, Onoda.
I would not take that all that seriously. Like, it's like the Shackleton one where we're like, I would have given up so long ago.
Oh, me too. I'll just lie down.
Coconut sounds nice, though.
No, I don't like coconut.
Neither do I. I don't even like fucking Bounty. And it's way worse than a Bounty.
I hate coconut.
Oh, I've never had one. I just assumed it tastes like Bounty.
You've never had... Oh, right.
I think you're thinking of the chocolate, though, aren't you?
I don't really like Bounties that much.
Do you not like coconut, perhaps?
I like Cherry Ripes, though, which is coconut chocolate.
If you have to eat cherry... Eat cherry.
If you have to eat cherry-flavoured coconut chocolate, so be it, mate. That's the war we're in now.
It's an interesting war.
He dropped him off at the Cadbury factory.
Just eat your way out.
It may take 3 years. It may take five. But under no circumstance are you to take your own life inside the Cadbury factory.
Oh.
It would be a public health nightmare. So anyway, his job is to fuck shit up.
And create mischief.
You wrote that down?
Yep.
Did you write that and then high-five yourself because you thought that was cool?
I felt like a real bad boy. I am the Onoda of Word documents.
Yeah, you are.
It may take 5 years, but I'll keep writing. Stuff was not going Japan's way by this time of the war, and they were fighting a war that was pretty much lost for them. Onoda's superior officers didn't really care for his guerrilla mission, and being distracted by losing the war, they offered him little help with the missions. So he was a bit
that would be a bit distracting, losing the war.
Yeah.
Ugh, just can't get my mind on the war.
Yeah.
Now that we're losing the war.
I just can't focus on everything else now that we're losing the war.
But stuff got a lot worse for Japan on the island when 2 months later, February 28th, 1945, the United States and the Philippine Commonwealth forces landed and quickly took control of the entire island. All the Japanese soldiers were either killed or surrendered, all except for Onoda and three men who he ordered to evacuate to the thick jungle-filled hills.
Cool.
Onoda's men were Private Yuichi Akutsu, 22 years old, Corporal Shoichi Shimada, 30 years old, Private First Class Kinshichi Kazuka, 24 years old. Onoda himself was just 23 years old at the time. He was their senior officer and held the rank of lieutenant.
Man.
But not Brigadier Major.
Brigadier. Oh.
But he was in charge. He was the boss of these.
Doesn't that just blow your mind when you hear these sorts of stories and they're like, they're people in their early 20s and it's like, fuck, I went without a light in my room for 2 months because I couldn't reach the light bulb. And only the other day I realised if I stood on my filing cabinet, I could reach the light. And I'm 26.
But filing cabinets
aren't pretty brave, though. 2 months without light.
I had a lamp, but it just wasn't good enough. I was trying to get dressed. You couldn't see anything.
What about a chair?
Yeah, no, the really high ceilings. I couldn't reach it. How many comedians does it take to change a light bulb? Nah, I did it by myself. Just one.
One.
And a filing cabinet.
But it has to... Yeah.
On wheels.
Is there a punchline for that?
Nah. It's just my life, Matt. My life is the punchline.
It is funny that became a joke.
How many does it change? Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? It's not a good joke. They're never funny.
I heard someone talking about it the other day and said, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
What was the answer?
One. But they need a want to change. The globe needs a want to change or something like that. I think it was in BoJack Horseman.
That's a little bit funny.
You can see an hour of Matt retelling other jokes better than the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
My show this year at the festival is called Matt Stewart Butchers the Classics.
Can you actually call your show that next year? That's a great title.
Yeah.
You read from a joke book with a badly played Chopin playing underneath it.
Great. I'd see that show.
Me too.
I wouldn't pay for a ticket. I'd just use my festival pass and get in for free.
Anyway, hey, we're doing a show at the festival. We mentioned that?
Yeah. We'll mention that at the end. Let's let Dave go on with his report.
Okay.
Dave, go on.
But everyone could pause now just to look on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website.
Yeah, while you're listening. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to talk about a noter who's in charge at 23 years old, younger than all of us.
Insane.
He's bossing even the guy that's 30 is being bossed around by him.
Definitely change a lot.
Bruce Springsteen wrote Born to Run at 24.
So. You've mentioned that several times.
That's my fact of the month.
How about this fact? But Meryl Streep didn't appear in a feature film until she was 27. Which is older than I am, so I could still be the Meryl Streep of my generation.
We're 27 this year. This could be our year. Or our year to die and join the 27 Club.
You've got to
Regardless, good year.
I think you've got to have done something of note to join the club.
God, you're a piece of shit.
It's true. The four men, Anoda and his crew, lived very closely together in the jungle, had very limited supplies. All they had was their uniforms, obviously that they're wearing, a small amount of
rice. Underwear.
Under no circumstance are you to wear underpants.
Mm-mm.
Under pain of death.
Unless it's like one of those coconut bras that you put together. If you must wear a coconut bra, well, then you wear a coconut bra.
But we will need to see a medical certificate.
Yeah.
What?
Anyway,
if you must wear a coconut bra, but only if the doctor gives you permission.
Okay.
Jungle doctor.
They had their uniforms, a little bit of rice.
Coconut bra, small amount of rice. They had their guns and limited ammunition, so they had to be a bit sparing with their bullets, and some grenades.
Sure.
But they were unlimited.
Yeah.
Unlimited grenades.
They typed in some cheat code and it meant that they had unlimited grenades.
Matt, that was quite funny.
Oh, fuck you.
It was like they were asked, they got one wish from a genie, you can have unlimited anything, and they're all thinking food, 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 and Noda's like, grenades! Oh, fuck! I should have said coconuts. They did end up eating coconuts, which is what the order had been. If you need to eat coconuts, and they had raw wild bananas from the jungle. Sometimes they would make late-night raids into the island's villages and steal food and sometimes beer. They lived in huts in the dense jungle that they built from bamboo and relied on Anoda's guerrilla warfare training and ability to survive.
Wow.
So you sort of really...
It's funny because you say, they did live off coconuts because that was the order. It'd be funny if there's, a full buffet available to them, but they're like, no, we were told coconuts.
I'm a man of principle.
We're not to eat that, just the coconuts.
Yeah, they're staying in the five-star hotel downstairs at the buffet every morning.
There's an omelet bar as well.
Yeah,
there's the one guy making custom-made pancakes.
They sit there bringing coconuts down
After coconut. They're just crying whilst they're skinning these coconuts inside. The war in Europe concluded in May 1945 when the Nazis surrendered. The Allies...
Oh, Dave, sorry.
Sorry to bring that up.
The Allies I must emphasize that they are my team.
Interesting.
Called for the unconditional...
Now who's the flip-flopper, right?
I always back a winner. The Allies called for the unconditional surrender of the Japanese armed forces in the Potsdam Declaration. A few months later, July 26, 1945, the alternative being prompt and utter destruction. So that was an ultimatum given to Japan. The Japanese response to this ultimatum was to ignore it.
Oh.
Or pretend they didn't get it. I'm sorry, I got lost in my drafts.
So yeah, sorry.
Got to my outbox, you know. I meant to get to that. Sorry about that. Oh dear. Can I still get paid for that gig, even though it's a new financial year? That has something that I've been going through this week.
Wow, new financial year plus 9 months.
And I also ignored the email about complete and utter destruction.
Dave.
With all that stuff, it's been a big week. Been a big week.
Dave.
So they ignore the email. Then on the, mostly because no one in Japan has a computer yet.
Sure.
Then on the 6th of
that
August...
That you know of.
That's right. Then on the 6th of August, 1945... An atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and American President Harry S. Truman called for Japan's surrender, warning it to expect a rain of ruin from the air, a like of which has never been seen on this earth. This was only the second ever nuclear explosion. Did you know this? That before dropping the bomb on Hiroshima, they'd only ever tested one bomb?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
They tested one and went, oh, it works. They dropped it on people.
Oh, my God.
Dave, how would... Like, I'm semi-interested in this stuff, but I don't... You know, this topic's great, but the wars and stuff, but I don't know that much about them. What, was it necessary for them to win, or was this like an unnecessary use of force by America? Obviously, it was unnecessary, but was it likely that they were going to lose? Or am I feel like I'm under the impression that they were in a strong position anyway.
So 70 years later, people still debate this.
Right.
About whether or not you can kill a couple hundred thousand innocent civilians in a few minutes in exchange for winning the war, which would possibly save millions of lives because the bloody war would keep going and going and going.
Oh,
but,
shit.
I mean, who could ever really make that call? You know.
So the war was likely to go on for years at that stage?
Well, yeah, they'd have to keep... Because, you know, Japan are very... You know, the tradition of the time, as you can see in this story, is give up under no circumstances.
Right, yep.
And this sort of, I guess, scared them into giving up.
Yep.
Wow.
But at the same time, I'm not necessarily of the opinion that it was the right thing to do.
No,
God, no.
I don't think nuclear weapons should ever be used, and hopefully never will be used again. But sadly, in this story, it did, because 3 days later, another atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. Japan announced its surrender 6 days later, because they had two, and they were thinking, well, they're going to just keep dropping these things if we don't sign up. Also 6 days after, this is also 6 days after the Soviet Union declared war on them. So Russia declared war on Japan as well. And that's a pretty scary thing, too.
Yeah.
So with all those things, they're like, you know, this is pretty much lost. So even the proud Japanese, you know, emperor gave up. But being in the middle of the jungle, our four men had no idea about any of this. They didn't get the email.
Out of Wi-Fi. They not,
yeah, he forgot his charger.
Gone over the 3G.
Yeah, got to wait for next month for the data to come back.
Refresh.
Yeah.
Now, they did notice activity on the island lessen in late August, but had no idea that the army they were fighting for had completely surrendered.
Wow.
Yeah, they're so isolated. And this continued on for 18 months.
Whoa.
When a plane dropped thousands of leaflets into the jungle. The leaflets read, "The war ended on August 15. Come down from the mountains." But Onoda was too smart to fall
for
this little
trick.
Holy shit,
that is so funny that they dropped... They're like, oh, how do we communicate with them?
Because you know, the Philippines and all these, there's like thousands of islands that they've sent troops to, and there's, you know, it's so jungle filled, and you can't just text them or radio them. So they're like, we'll just drop a bunch of leaflets.
That's so clever.
Like thousands of them.
I find that really smart and funny. I don't know why I think it's funny. Is it funny or am I mental?
No, that's funny.
Cool, thanks.
No, that's definitely very funny. And on the back, it had the pizza specials. Yeah. I didn't want to waste space.
Oh, you can't.
The printing budget.
Yeah, you mustn't.
They got the pizza company to pay for it.
Yeah.
It was a Domino's deal.
Very
two pizzas
clever.
And garlic bread for $18.95. That's going to make anyone come down from the mountain.
Two pieces of garlic bread for $18.95.
It was a different time, Jess. money was worth more than...
That's so much.
Hang on. Wait, does that make sense? No. Money was worth less than... Did I say dollars? Because I meant yen.
Nailed.
Yeah, 18 yen, that's nothing. Onoda was too smart to fall for this pizza-based trick. There were other cells of Japanese soldiers spread throughout the jungle on this island, and occasionally they would be killed or captured. Onoda wondered why they'd be fired upon if the war was over. So it must be a trick. So you'd see other people get shot at, and he'd be like, ah, I get it. Just a trick.
Yeah, a bit of propaganda from the skies. But why... Who is still shooting at him? Who's fighting against them?
Perhaps it was because Onoda's group still blew up supply ships with explosives and shot at locals who were farming.
Right, so they're getting shot up by like farmers with shotguns.
Yeah, who are getting pissed off that these four men in the jungle are just shooting at them.
They're getting pissed off, are they? Jeez, a bit of an overreaction.
Drama queens.
It was a different
time. Can't a small secret army cell shoot at you on your farm every now and then without you bloody... It's chucking like, a bloody fit.
Jeez.
It's like it's making a big drama about it.
It's like having a tanty.
Ugh.
Some kid with a BB gun, but it's actually just a dude with unlimited grenades throwing them at your house. Oh, fuck off. Seriously.
That's enough.
That's the third house this week.
And it's very loud. You're doing them late at night. We're trying to sleep.
Bit of respect. Good. After 11 p.m, I'll get the fucking poppers out here.
No grenades after 11. I think that's very reasonable.
I'll have no loud music, no shouting, and no grenades.
After 11.
After 11. Before 11, blow up as much as you
go
like.
Go for it. On weekends, sure, midnight. Sure. I understand you're
young.
I'm
not going to be a Nazi about it. Let's just be reasonable.
What's that? You're a Nazi. Grenade dead.
Bang.
Actually, in fact, even though the Nazis were on the Japanese side.
He was taking no risks.
He was. More leaflets were dropped. The next batch...
These ones for Mexican...
Ooh, now I'm listening.
They're going through the cuisines.
Two burritos for 18.95 yen.
Any good quesadilla deals?
Yes.
I love a quesadilla.
Two quesadillas for 18.95
yen. Oh.
But how much garlic bread?
Oh, yeah.
Two pieces.
Oh.
Okay,
I'm going to throw those in.
So when I went to Japan, I'm not a big fan of Japanese cuisine, unlike Matthew over here.
The fuck?
Not a fan at all. So I was staying at a hotel.
I didn't know that was an option.
Not a fan.
Open your eyes, Matt.
Jess, do you like
Japanese? You too, Jess?
Not huge, no. What? Well, because it's a lot of...
taste, flavour, enjoyment, happiness, good times.
Well, I was staying at a hotel that had like a rooftop type bar.
Oh, okay.
Were you going to say, ooh, it had a roof? Ooh.
Ooh, a rooftop.
Fancy man.
And it had like cocktails and then like nibbles that you could order as well.
Mm.
And I discovered that they would have a shepherd's pie that for some reason came with garlic bread. And I discovered that I loved that combo. And I tried to eat there every single night. But my girlfriend thought it was very uncultured and that the staff were laughing at us because we were the only two people that would go there every night instead of eat Japanese food. But I regretted nothing. Garlic bread and
shepherd's pie.
I would come out of the jungle for that.
Yeah, good call. That's how we'd get you out.
Shepherd's pie.
So, and it was such a good shepherd's pie.
That's not an everyday meal.
Such a good
shepherd's pie. No, shepherd's it's very pie, heavy.
Yeah. I'd have it twice a day if I could. Three times.
All right. Breakfast, lunch and dinner, shepherd's pie.
Shepherd, it's like it's beef, like a beef stew topped with
mashed potato. It's not even a stew, it's like
potato.
Mince.
Mince with a bit of carrot and stuff and peas and stuff. And then mashed potato.
It's almost like a bolognese.
And then cheese on top of that.
I haven't eaten meat in a long time.
Yeah.
That's munched up meat. With potato on top.
Is it
potato.
Munched up meat?
Munched up.
Munched up. Yeah, see, I never liked shepherd's pie.
I
stopped eating meat.
So you're telling me you're going to go to Japan and you don't like Japanese food or shepherd's pie?
I'm
well,
fucked.
You're
good luck.
Fucking start.
Good
I'm
luck,
fucked.
Mate.
Maybe I'll like just coconuts. Eat the garlic bread. Hope you like coconut.
They actually refuse to serve garlic bread on its own.
Yeah, well, I'll get somebody that I'm traveling with to get the shepherd's pie and I'll eat the garlic bread.
I'm afraid they won't allow
it. It is
Why?
Weird. If I haven't told you this story about it, I was on a winery tour one time. See, I do travel.
You're cultured.
You go to a place where you have your underwear ripped off and thrown into a giant pig.
Yeah, you're cultured.
But you don't go to Alcatraz Island or the Van Gogh Museum.
You know, Oktoberfest is one of the biggest cultural events in the world, guys.
Okay, Grow tell up. Us about this wine.
But that tent is no good. I wouldn't go back in there in a Hofbrau tent. If it's still like that, no good. Polana, lots of fun. The one with the big lion at the entry.
Don't,
good one
don't
as well.
Don't eat these.
Okay, right.
The underwear one it does sound interesting.
I don't know, wine.
If you're not wearing underwear, it sounds like it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so winery.
I was just saying, because you know you were saying you can't separate them. There was one on this winery tour. The lunch stop was at this winery in up near the Murray, and
river.
The dish, there was only one
big river
meal, and it was chicken with mashed potatoes. And I was like, I'm hungry because I've been drinking wine, and I need a meal today.
Yeah,
I wasn't in big trouble, and so I said, is there a vegetarian option? And they're like, no, sorry. I'm like, that's weird.
Very weird.
That's weird in like 2012 and that they wouldn't even be
vaguely accommodating.
Yeah, they wouldn't. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be fussy or anything. Is there any way I could just get, you know, the chicken meal without the chicken? And like, sorry, I'm really sorry. We can't help you.
Like, they couldn't even take the chicken off the plate.
With that phrase, we can't help you.
I had to talk to like two levels up of management before I got a plate of mashed potatoes, and it cost me the full price of $18.
What the fuck? Was it good, though? It was a really good mash.
It was mashed potato.
Yeah.
I was missing the chicken, to be honest.
That's fucked.
Did you have to be like, all right, no, you can personally eat my chicken?
Yeah, no, that you just reminded me of it then when they're just being like, it was this weird sort of, it's like, but I mean, you're stuck on a rule that doesn't make any sense. I'm happy to pay for the meal if that's what I have to do. Assuming I was calling their bluff and they'd say, no, we'll give us a couple of bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
But they were like, yeah, sorry, just this is how it is.
Sorry, that's a $26 mashed potato.
And they had no other options. Like, I understand if it's a set thing and they've already made all that food, fine.
100% was not going like, how dare you or anything. I was just like, I just really need to eat some food. Is there any chance I can get anything? Anyway, now I'm sounding like a fucking sook.
No, not at all. That's weird.
I still think about it every now and then. I'm like, what a weird day where they were just like basically going, how dare you? How dare you really even come up here and ask that question?
That's really not even going to help you all that much with your drinking. You know, like, that's not a good meal to have.
Bit of mash.
Oh.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to call the CEO. Yeah. Oh. And the police. You fucking criminal. I know this is some sort of fucking scam. I'm trying to get some free mashed potato. Not on my fucking watch. You're going to pay $28 and you're not going to fucking enjoy it. And then I'm going to make you eat chicken because you're a little bastard.
It probably was like that. Like, they're just fucking pissed.
Like, they're probably like, just eat the chicken.
Yeah.
Why can't you just eat the chicken?
Why are you being so stubborn about this?
Just eat the chicken.
I love that argument. How about you just eat the chicken? And you go like, you're such a nice guy. You'd be like, yeah, right. Okay.
Look, I was back in the corner. I feel
like you do get that a little bit. Like, my housemate sometimes like, Jess is mostly vegetarian. I'm like, Deb, I'm vegetarian. Like, I'm not mostly. I don't eat meat. No, but you'll have a little bit. No, I won't.
I'm mostly vegetarian. My small toe has been known to consume meat. But
The rest of me. It's very funny. Just eat the chicken then.
Omnivore.
Matt, just eat the chicken.
Yeah, I know. Why are you making a big scene? Your
ethics or the fact that you haven't eaten meat in so long that if you do eat meat, it kind of doesn't sit right. I don't care about that. This is the meal.
Anyway, look, I've moved on. I don't want to make it sound like I'm carrying this around with me.
I am now. I'm carrying it. You pass it on.
Do you think about it daily? Should we have our first anti-sponsor on the podcast and you name this winery?
I know. I remember the name if you want to know it.
Yeah, what was it called?
Gehrig's.
Was it
Gehrig's?
Gehrig's.
It's not even a good name. Gehrig's.
I love the name until I went there because they were related to one of my favourite Saints footballers.
Of course.
The G-Train, Fraser Gehrig.
So it's called Gehrig. Are you sure it wasn't called Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Does that not sound like a noise you make when you have indigestion? So like, Gehrig?
The Colonel was being very unreasonable. Even the Colonel would have let me eat the chips.
Exactly.
Or the mash.
Chips and mash and coleslaw. You would have had a rounded meal at the Colonel's.
And I love the idea. Well, we can give you just the chicken or the chicken and the mash, but not just the mash. Like, if you'd asked for no mash, they would have been fine.
Yeah.
That's but so if you take away weird.
The chicken, they start to panic. Anyway.
That's so odd.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
Back to Japan, where they had no chicken and no mashed potatoes, just a lifetime supply of coconut. More leaflets were dropped. The next batch had a surrender order from General Yamashita of the 14th Area Army. They studied these leaflets and thought, another trick. Leaflet after leaflet was dropped from above. Newspapers with details of the war being over were left throughout the jungle. Photographs and letters from relatives were dropped. A notice said, I assumed my relatives were living under the occupation and had to obey the authorities to survive.
That's Jesus. I love that kind of level of pessimism and paranoia.
People spoke out over loudspeakers throughout the jungle, telling them it was all over. But to the men, there was always something suspicious. So they never believed the war had really ended. Japan would never give up, and they were specifically told to never surrender.
Yes, I love it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I quite enjoy that.
Because you are actually quite defiant and stubborn, let's be honest.
Yeah,
Matt.
Shit, this would you be you. Are. Whereas yeah. I'd be like, I definitely would have killed myself.
I can relate to them on some level, apart from, you know, being general badasses. But the stubbornness I'd probably do a bit of.
Do a bit of?
I'd do a bit of that stubbornness.
You dabble in stubborn?
I'd dabble. I was thinking what I was relating to it on one level, it's quite similar. Is when I'm in like a public place and someone's going, hey, Matt, I won't turn around because I just assume they're talking to a different Matt.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
What if you hear another name? Dave, they've clearly forgotten my name. I'll turn around.
There's a lot of Matts out there, Jess.
There's a lot of Jesses, Matt. I'd still turn around.
No.
I turn around when people say yes because it sounds so similar. People say yes and I go, hmm?
And
oh,
how
not me.
Yeah. I never have that.
Yeah, but if somebody is saying Jess, I hear them.
Well, eventually they come up.
Would
and
you
they
not
tap
recognize someone's voice? Like, what if I can't come up and tap you on the shoulder? Well, what if I need help and I'm yelling, Matt?
Don't Matt, yell, Matt.
Help,
yell, help.
Help me, Matt.
And if I yell help, would you then turn around? Or would you say if somebody else will deal with that?
If someone's saying help,
you'd turn around.
You assume that they're talking to someone else.
Yeah.
But also, like, maybe what if I said something that was more specific to you? Like, if I said Matt Stewart or...
Yeah, Matt Stewart's probably getting close.
I call you Maddie. If I yelled Maddie...
So did you just say Matt Stewart is probably getting close?
It's getting closer.
To something you would turn around to.
You just yell out, what's my middle name?
I grew up around the corner from a guy with my same full name.
Oh, fuck off. Was he also James?
Yeah.
He was also a Matthew James.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
So I was just
what
like,
are the chances?
They're talking about him.
What if I yelled, oi, big balls?
Oh, like, hey. Oh, who's that?
Oh, it's
that
Bob.
That could be many people who know about
do you ever get...
my special condition. My silver big balls. Now, I've had them coated.
With silver?
Yeah, and bigness. I've had layers added.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that expensive?
Yes.
Did you use some Do-Go-On money for that?
18.95 yen.
Did you use some of our money for that?
Of course I did. It's the only money I have.
Fair enough.
I live off this.
That is the Patreon treasurer.
He is.
And we are yet to see a dollar.
Yeah.
But we have seen many yen.
Many yen.
Many yen.
Many yen. Yen. Many, oh, yen. So many good yen. A few good yen.
A few good yen.
I think that's what I was going for. Anyway, do go on.
Back on Lubang Island, the locals had tried to rebuild their lives over the first couple of years after the war, and they went back to their old routines, farming as best they could, and they fucking hate Onoda and his men. Onoda thought that they were in on it too, that the farmers were the enemy. He wrote, "We considered people dressed as islanders to be enemy troops in disguise or enemy spies. The proof that they were was that whenever we fired on one of them, a search party arrived shortly afterwards."
That the search does party, sound...
That sounds suspicious. Stuff.
The search party was probably just trying to find out, who the fuck just shot my mum? Who shot my mum? Was it you?
Your mum's like, a spy?
Yeah. How very convenient. I shot one of you when you came looking for the murderer. Miss Marple? Fuck off. Onoda said that he wanted his own territory. He wrote, "To expand, we had to break in the locals. I materialized to destroy things, threatening them, lighting fires in empty houses." So he also burnt their farms down.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So they hate him.
It's so weird that they looked for him. Don't you reckon?
But he was so good that they never got him. Or not to this point.
Or did they?
I wonder what would it take, Jess, for him to be convinced? The president of Japan?
No, because then it's an imposter.
Oh, yes.
It's just Madame Tussauds come to life.
Not again.
The enemy has clearly invented some sort of machine where they bring the emperor back to life. He would definitely believe that before.
Yeah.
The youngest of the group, 22-year-old Akutsu, got sick of the raw bananas, coconuts, lighting farms on fire, and jungle living. So one day...
What a sook.
Yawn. Oh, burning houses. Yawn. Oh, boring.
Sick of bananas.
Burning Houses Australia sounds like a great program.
We could host that.
Yeah.
Burning Houses.
Welcome to another episode of Burning Houses Australia. Matt's like, oh, fuck, this is boring.
Whereas, like, you're talking to the camera and no one knows where I am, but then behind you, a fire starts and then I run out of the house.
It's like a little gasoline canister.
Like, whee! Giggling to myself.
This week's episode, we burn a mansion.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm back in.
Volume up.
Matt somehow tries to set fire to a pool.
Yeah, let's up the ante.
Everybody in the pool.
Oh, no.
Set fire.
Oh, no, no, no.
Was anyone home? We forgot to check. It was a big house.
That's normally the producer's job, but they're sick today. We didn't check.
Yeah. Well, hey, we don't want to break and enter and break the law.
Oh, no.
We just throw a Molotov cocktail through several windows in several locations of the house.
Okay.
Yeah? Is that all right?
Questioning McGee.
And if people happen to be home, that's their fault for living in a mansion. Capitalism gone mad.
Fuck the mansion.
Fuck the... That's our motto. Fuck the mansion. And one day... We have a crossover episode where we find a big mansion owned by a man called Shun.
And we fuck him.
We fuck him.
Really?
We fuck the man, Shun. Yeah. We fuck the man, Shun.
Yeah.
Do I have to say it again?
We make him reach.
And then another crossover episode.
Yes.
We throw a Molotov cocktail into a mansion, but there are antiques in there. Antiques Roadshow.
The house is on wheels. It's a real roadshow.
You know what's great is that I broke there because of my own joke, which wasn't really a joke.
You were laughing at the audacity of yourself.
It was just you saying, antiques roadshow.
It's because it didn't work at all. Stop trying to contribute, Jess.
There are antiques in there. Antiques roadshow.
Right, it is funny.
Some of the antiques are collectible children's toys. Power Rangers. Crossover. Kids will love it. Have you noticed that we've had several tweets of people asking us to do a Power Rangers episode?
No.
There's been at least three.
There's a new movie coming out, I believe.
Fuck, that's funny. Antiques, how about them?
How about them?
Old stuff.
Oh, very good.
Very good.
Very good indeed.
So we got a kutsu, the guy who's sick of eating coconuts, bananas, and burning shit down.
Did I get this right? The oldest guy, the leader, is 23, and the youngest guy is 22?
Yeah. But no, but there is... the actual oldest of the group was 30 when they went in.
Right.
But he's just... He's outranked.
Fair enough.
He's out of noted.
Mm.
But this guy, Okutsu...
Imagine being in your 30s and hanging out with people in their 20s.
Sounds sad.
Imagine that.
And what
imagine,
a loser.
Imagine being that kind of psychopath. Ew. And
imagine,
yucky.
Imagine if one of them was your boss, a.k.a. me.
Imagine trying to bond with them or fit in. You just wouldn't. You just wouldn't fit in.
Couldn't do it. They're so fucking dumb.
And
they haven't lived.
Nah, they're young and really fresh.
It'd be hard to communicate with such imbeciles.
And you're old and stuck in your ways.
And they haven't seen anything. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, both of them have.
What do they know? Nothing.
The other two have been to Alcatraz, and the old man hasn't.
They've seen old buildings, and they think that's wisdom. But
yeah, the old man's the real just wisdom drunk
is,
a lot.
The real wisdom is people. Life's about conversations.
You know what life's about? Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah. That's maturity.
Antiques Roadshow. Oh, has Bob got a new catchphrase? Hello.
Well, I mean, you're saying the name of the show.
Antiques Roadshow.
Hashtag Antiques Roadshow. I'm sure that Antiques Roadshow hashtag is not taken. Any mail from now on, don't tweet it to us. Just tweet it with the hashtag Antiques Roadshow. I'm sure we'll find it.
It'll get to us.
I'm sure we'll find it. So, for the fifth time, there's a dude called Okutsu who's just stopped giving a fuck. He doesn't want to eat bananas, coconuts anymore.
Oh, fuck.
So one day, without telling the others, he decides to surrender.
Oh.
The only problem is, he didn't know which way was the way out of the jungle, and it took him 6 months to find anyone to surrender to. But he lived.
All I want to do is surrender.
Oh, shit.
So he walked for 6 months on his own. And the others were like,
how big is this island?
Everyone's like, where'd he go? Oh. And of course, to Onoda, he was crazily suspicious. The group now down to three, he thought this was some sort of security leak and that the other guy was possibly in on it the whole time. Oh, so he had to be careful about moving to a new position. I love this guy.
He's so great.
He
you know what else is great? Antiques Roadshow.
It's about
things that are old, but still valuable.
Hmm.
Unlike Matt.
Oh, my favourite game
Bit am I not? Old or valuable?
Both.
I love watching Antiques Roadshow and guessing how much things are worth.
Yeah.
Matt, £4.50.
Oh, generous.
True.
What's the question?
How much you're worth.
Oh, yeah. £4.50?
Yeah.
How is the pound going these days?
Dave, you keep up to date with currency?
Pretty well, actually.
Brexit did well for it, didn't it?
Dropped a bit. I think it's bounced back.
Oh, good. Don't worry about it. It's good for the pound.
I remember going to pound pint nights. So that's 4.5 pints in the right night.
Pound pint nights?
Hmm. Pound some bloody pints of those.
Now, the oldest guy was Shimada. He was 30.
Yuck.
Now 37 years old. They've been in the jungle for 7 years.
Whoa.
Talk about Antiques Roadshow.
You gotta click first. Try it again.
Talk
about Antiques Roadshow.
Nailed it.
Yeah, seamless.
Fake, yeah.
I'll edit that to make you sound like a legend.
Edit it to make it sound like really, like a really good... Ooh.
I've got a good crispy. Click.
So Shimada's the oldest one. He was 30. Now he's 37 years old. Wow. So they've been in the jungle for 7 years at this point.
Hang on. That math adds up, yes.
He was shot in the leg during a shootout with a local fisherman in June 1953, after which Onoda nursed him back to health, which is incredible when you consider he had no first aid supplies or medicine at all.
Wow.
Sadly, it was all in vain because the following year, 1954, Shimada was killed by a shot fired by a search party looking for the men.
Oh, no.
Which to me is the world's fucking worst search party in history. There they are! Oh, fuck, I shot him in the head. Now I can't tell if it's him or not. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So he was dead. He's gone. So now there's two men left. Kazuka, now 33, and our leader, Onoda, now 32 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been there 9 years.
9 years.
And remember, they've been hiding for what is almost undoubtedly no reason.
Yeah.
No reason.
Wow. And almost a third of their lives.
It's crazy, isn't it? In 1959, Lieutenant Onoda's file was officially changed from missing in action to killed in action.
Oh.
Back home. So they just assumed that no one could still be out there.
But they said they'd come back for them.
They've given up on him.
They
but
did.
He
they
hasn't
dropped,
given up.
They dropped flies multiple times. They came back, sort of.
Whoa.
Yeah, for the first, like, 5 years. And then they're like, oh.
Well, yeah, I guess they'd... Fair
and
assumption,
every, And every now and then, a search party would go out looking for them. Often the local community, or the police, because... Someone from the hills was shooting at the farmers.
Yeah. Matt, how long would you hang in there, just so we know?
Just for out of spite and anger.
Stubborn. Just because I don't want to go, no, guys, it's been 5 years. We should assume he's been killed in action.
Look, I don't know how, I mean, how much are the farmers double-crossing me?
Well.
Like a what?
Heaps.
Yeah, they're the enemy. They're soldiers dressed up as farmers.
100 years?
You'd wait 100 years. Okay, good to know. I'll
give or take.
Keep looking for you then.
Say 200 to be safe.
Yeah, right. 200 years. And then we'd give up. That seems fair.
I think so.
Antiques Roadshow.
It was now. That's the new catchphrase instead of do go on. So it's now just Onoda and Kazuka living together, huddling in the rain, eating coconuts, making raids, and waiting for their next official order.
Sounds kind of great.
Sounds kind of romantic.
Yeah.
It sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah.
So these two men are there. They believe it's their duty to keep information on the enemy should the Japanese army ever arrive and need it again. So they're sort of trying to keep notes up here, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it's just the two
Sorry,
of them.
Sorry, to clarify, Dave was tapping his head.
I was not tapping my penis. Got notes up here. I don't know why my penis is up. But it's up
you
here.
Are tapping it now.
Oh, actually,
stop
I'm,
it.
Sorry. I'm a method actor.
Don't so, tap your penis at me.
You're a flaccid actor.
Nothing flaccid about this act.
Oh, no. Stop it.
So it was just the two of them.
Just the two of us.
I actually paused because I knew Jess would sing that. It was just, and it was just the two of them for another 18 years.
Fuck off.
Another 18 years.
On top of the
27.
Nine. No. On top of the nine. They stuck it out. Two men in the jungle wearing the same clothes. Probably no underwear, remember. Imagine if on the day you deployed, you accidentally wore your worst pair of underwear, like your emergency pair, like with the shit elastic.
Yeah.
And then you had to keep wearing that for 27 fucking years.
Dave, that's as old as us.
They've spent more, your whole lifespan, Jess.
Are we sure that they're wearing the same clothes? I mean, they were burning down empty houses. Surely they'd grab a spare change of clothes.
But then that'd be taking off their uniform, which would be treasonous.
Oh my God.
Treason.
That's amazing.
Not fully treason, just treasonous. Treasonish.
Treasonish.
That's treasonish, but...
That's your defence in a military corps. So,
I mean, it was treasonish.
Why did you try to assassinate the Prime Minister? Treasonish, come on.
I don't know if it's cut and dry.
Fair go. That's you. I love that argument. Fair go.
Oh, come on. Fair go.
In Australia, it seems like that could get you off, though, doesn't
fair
it?
Go.
Fair go.
Oh, go on, fair go. Go on.
All right.
Go on.
Just go on.
Fair buddy.
Oh, fair go.
Fair buddy go, Cobb.
Remember when we had a Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, whose catchphrase was, fair shake of the sauce bottle?
Yeah.
That was the Prime Minister's catchphrase.
Makes a lot of sense.
What's our current Prime Minister's catchphrase?
Jobs and growth.
Oh, yeah, of course. Jobs and growth.
Clever. Hair growth, mostly.
Is it really? That's what he promises.
He supports the hairdressing industry.
Yeah,
no,
time.
No, we growth or not cutting.
Ashley and Martin.
Oh, from
sponsors. Big sponsors of the Prime Minister.
It's our Prime Minister and Shane Warne.
Yeah.
Big sponsor.
I think you'll find that Shane Warne is from Advanced Hair Yeah Yeah. So there you go.
Advanced Hair Yeah Yeah.
Yeah. That was his catchphrase.
Advanced Hair Clinics.
Yeah, yeah. That was the catchphrase.
That's
that was the motto.
That's a terrible catchphrase.
Isn't it?
Not as good as...
Yeah, yeah.
Antiques Roadshow.
That's so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Maybe if he clicked.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck. Is that not it?
No.
What is it? Oh. And then say, yeah, yeah.
That's terrible. I fucking hate that a lot. I don't get it.
But it was, it became like.
I mean, it worked. It went in your head.
But it also went, it became like a thing that people said.
Oh, yuck.
I can't even remember.
What decade was this? I've never heard anyone say this.
Advanced hair, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I hate it.
It must have been.
I don't think I've ever hated anything more in my life.
It was, I think it was when it came out. Greg Matthews, you remember him?
No.
Oh, yeah,
it used to be all cricketers. Well, is it? Tell me I haven't made that up.
It says mid-1990s.
Oh, fucking hell. That makes sense.
And it says New Zealand TV ads, the first thing that comes
up. Okay, all right. So that's, yeah, okay. So,
so you weren't watching
it was
when we were New Zealand
when we
TV.
Were small children and it was in a different country.
Oh, advance here, yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, sorry.
That was bloody great.
Misunderstood. Dave, that was very funny.
Nothing like a little jab. And that is why they haven't invaded us, because we ridicule them at every turn.
I'm pretty sure they do it back. I don't. There's a lot they can tease us for. I mean, we don't fuck sheep, so that's all right.
Oh, we do have quite a few New Zealand listeners.
I know, I'm just kidding. So you guys
thank you very much.
I don't think they fuck sheep.
Yeah, I know, mate. It's just a joke.
Well, is it a funny joke?
Oh, fuck off.
Jess, because...
I love when Matt just pulls you up on a point. Let me just... Antiques Roadshow, you right there.
It's like how Matt envies Dave for always having a joke answer to a question. And Matt's always like, guys... That's the one he supposed to the question.
Think about
goes,
this.
I mean, great question. Geez Louise, what do we think?
Thanks so much for asking.
Can we have some brainstorming time?
Whereas Dave's like, I've got a joke. Slice. Boom, we're in. But Matt is.
I keep thinking this is a serious show.
It's not at all.
I always forget. I will remember one day that we're doing comedy.
Nah.
And I'll join in.
Hey, Dave, sorry to keep interrupting you. Please, do go on.
This episode has felt looser than...
Yeah, sorry about that.
You say that most weeks.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm not lying.
Okay.
No, we're nearly there. Because in October 1972, at the age of 51,
what?
And after 27 years of hiding in the jungle, Kazuka was killed during a clash with the Filipino patrol whilst he was burning a local rice field. So 27 years later, he's still burning down rice fields.
It feels like maybe he wasn't fully on top of life, right?
I feel like you just need something to pass the time.
Yeah.
That's... And a bit of pyromania just really...
Or was it that he just never wanted to go back and get a real job?
Mm.
Do you think he was a bit of a layabout?
Maybe he didn't like his wife. Yeah, didn't like his wife, didn't want to go back to
work. Yeah, any excuse would do to get away from the bloody
ball and show. All right. Oh, geez, you know what they're like.
Well, I did read about one of these Japanese holdouts who held out for a couple of decades and on the American overseas territory of Guam. And apparently after the first 5 years, he lived in a hole that he dug for himself. And after the first 5 years, he found out that the war was over, but he was too afraid to go back and surrender. Like, he didn't want to look like he was giving up. He didn't want to go home and admit.
So he just stayed.
So he just stayed for, like, another 10, 15 years on his own.
No.
And the weirdest part about that, there were other men also in holes, like, a few kilometres spread out. But they'd meet up sometimes, but then they'd decide to sleep, like, stay alone at night for years.
That's
crazy.
So odd.
But these people aren't like that. They still think they're part of the mission.
I'd be like, it's done, and I'm already on a plane somehow. Like, I'd be straight out.
Straight out. Me too. First opportunity.
Wouldn't be there in the first place.
Onoda had been declared 13 years earlier, but after the Filipino patrol killed his partner, whose body was sent back to Japan, they started to think that maybe Onoda was in fact alive. So it became a big story in the newspapers, because no one had ever seen his body, and there'd been stories of a couple of people shooting at farmers. Now one of them's gone. They thought Onoda's out there. So both the Japanese and Filipino governments sent out search parties into the jungle, but they couldn't find Onoda, who was now completely alone. Still remembering his orders, he decided he couldn't kill himself or surrender. He had, at this point, spent more than half of his entire life in the jungle. Half of your life wearing the same underpants.
You're really hanging on to the underpants, aren't you?
I think it'd be... I love the idea of being able to go... Imagine how much Japan would have changed in that time.
Well, that's what I was thinking too.
Crazy.
Kind of like when you hear about people getting out of prison and, like, you know, technology's advanced so much. And then...
It's like, what the
fuck? He's been living in a jungle for more than half his life. You couldn't go back. You couldn't function.
What year are we up to now?
1972.
Whoa, it's the
70s. So 27 years later.
Holy
the 70,
shit.
He missed all of the 60s.
He's now...
And the 50s.
He's now into his 50s.
The whole world has changed so much.
So much.
He was 23 and now he's 50.
That's incredible.
Shit. I love but it.
Then we come to another incredible man named Norio Suzuki. Probably the opposite of Onoda in many ways. Not good at following orders and a definite hippie-free spirit. But one thing that they had in common is that they were both crazily determined and would persevere where nearly everyone else would give up. Suzuki was born in Japan in 1949, 4 years after the war ended, and when Onoda had already been hiding for 4 years.
Oh my god.
He studied economics at Hosei University, but dropped out and decided to explore the world. On his world travels, he visited Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. And in 1972, after 4 years of wandering the world and paying for the trip by donating blood and working on farms, he decided to return to Japan and found himself surrounded by what he felt as fake. So he'd been away for 4 years and came back to Japan and it had changed so much. So imagine how much it's changed for the other guy.
Wow.
But Suzuki had read of the killing of Kazuka and about the possibility that Onoda was still alive. Onoda had now turned into a bit of a sea urchin.
He was a sea urchin now.
He had changed form. No, he turned
that
into
is stubborn. He's so stubborn. But he became an urchin. Jesus.
You've heard of a hermit. This is an urchin.
Hello.
Urchin personified. You know, he turned into an urban legend back in Japan. But most people thought he probably wasn't actually alive. Because what are the fucking chances 27 years later the guy's still in the jungle?
Yeah.
But reading about him left Suzuki to conclude that he wanted to search for Lieutenant Onoda, a panda, and the Abominable Snowman in that order.
Fuck, that's the best. Also, did I mention on the podcast that I can't say the word before snowman?
Abominable.
Abominable. I have abominable. To imagine a bomb inside a bull.
Abominable. Abominable. Abominable.
That's the only way I can do it.
Abominable. Abominable.
Abominable.
Abominable.
There you go. I said it.
Yeah, you said it.
Abominable.
You made a big deal about nothing in the end there, Jeff.
You just changed the lives of many listeners because I will always think of
abominable.
Abominable. Abominable. Abominable.
Thanks to my ex-boyfriend for that and nothing else.
Thanks, Gary. His name is Gary.
His name was not Gary.
Gary Lyon.
Yeah, I dated Gary Lyon.
Yeah, I knew he had a bit of infidelity in him, but really.
Oh.
And what? And he said something earlier in this episode to me, didn't he? That was a different Gary
he
Lyon.
He changed a lot of lives. Gary Lyon.
Changed a lot of loves. Like the one for you and to not love.
Yeah, I'm incapable of love.
Gary.
Gary, no.
Gary, no.
Suzuki.
Ah.
Back on track. Traveled to Lubang. And began wandering the jungle with a very simple strategy to find Onoda. What he would do was wander the jungle, yelling Onoda's name at the top
of
his lungs.
Well, if he is at all like me, that is not going to work.
But if you yell big balls...
I'm guessing it's another Onoda. He's probably talking about another Onoda.
It's got to be. How many Onodas?
What are the odds?
Can be in one jungle.
There's a guy yelling out my name here for me. I doubt it. Good luck. Hope you find the other Onoda, mate. I'm not saying that to you or looking. I'm walking on.
So, search party after search party, leaflet after leaflet. No one's been able to find this guy.
There's now the leaflets for, like, Jim's mowing. We'll clip your hedges for money, which is all like, most businesses work that way, to be honest. But...
food delivery for all cuisines.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my mail is food delivery things.
Yeah.
I miss getting mail. Anyway.
Send your fan mail.
Yeah, two. Unit to three. Just... No, oh,
imagine unit three, is it really?
Yeah, it is a unit three.
You've basically given it away.
Yeah,
how many unit threes could there
be? Send it to unit three.
We could set up a PO box. That would be cool.
That would be great, actually.
Fan mail.
Oh, but then they could send us creepy things, too.
That's fine.
Yes. The best.
Dave is that can, fine? Okay, well, you can open all the envelopes, all right, Anthrax boy?
I will, with my mouth.
Just to be safe.
Just to be safe. I don't want anything touching these beautiful hands. Oh, no, I've got anthrax on my hands.
Ew.
You will never hear me say that. Oh, what's with powder in my mouth? You might hear me say that.
A bit obnoxious when she laughs like that, don't you?
People love it. The millions of tweets we get. I love it.
It's the only feedback I get.
There was
you know, I'm a person as well, guys. There's a person behind the laugh.
But there was one.
That's a great autobiography title. The person behind the laugh.
Like I am, like I'm a human, and I make some good points every now and then.
Look,
I'm not just a laugh.
To the listeners, I see Jess quite a lot, but I never really see Jess because her laugh is just so big. It's hard to get through it. People did say it was obnoxious early. I think mainly you. It's so obnoxious. I'm going to have to edit that out. It's something that Jess often used to say. And Dave and I was like...
Dave and I was like...
And Dave was like... And I was like...
Uh-uh, Jess, you leave that in. And, you know, the rest, they say, is history. It's basically me and Dave. If you like Jess's laugh...
It's because of you
two. It's because of me and Dave.
It is because I'm laughing at you.
Hang on, no, you made yourself laugh before.
So, as I said, I make some good jokes sometimes.
A solo podcast, you'd actually be fine.
No, I wouldn't. That's why I don't like my own reports, because they're not. I don't laugh. I have no fun on them.
Yeah, well, maybe you should do a report on Antiques something Roadshow. Else. Oh, okay.
Oh, no, please don't suggest Antiques Roadshow. I don't think there's enough information
it's been
it.
Going for decades.
Yeah, but is there enough on
every
there?
Every episode is about amazing, interesting stories of artifacts.
How do they find them all?
I'd love to know the production of it.
Anyway, Dave opening the mail with his mouth is very funny.
This is a very interesting piece. Oh, it's a, that's a big brass Matt Stewart testicle.
Circa 1834, I believe.
Do you realize what you have here? Do you know the significance of these balls?
What accent?
These balls have
changed a lot there. It went from like English to French very quickly.
I am. This show is not about me. It is. Now it's Japanese. I was thinking of Anoda. Oh my god!
That was your Japanese impression.
It was not good.
I will not do it again.
It still sounded French.
Well, I'm just going to rewind and replay.
Mm.
Maybe turn it into some sort of a club dance hit.
Oh, hello!
They still do this.
A club dance hit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I know that doesn't even know what a club dance hit is. He's been in the jungle that long.
It's the 70s.
Disco. For years, he's been yelling, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here," and nothing has happened. He's had no response.
He was before his time in many ways.
Anyway, tell us more about Suzuki walking around a jungle.
He's yelling his name.
I'm waiting for this guy to invent some sort of motorbike.
He's not the Suzuki.
Orca. Killer whale.
Yeah, he's going to invent an orca.
Or the acting instructor.
Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was talking about the other...
Antiques Roadshow.
Great.
So Suzuki, he's wondering... Remember, they've sent dozens of search parties
out. But he just goes by himself.
On his own, yelling. How long do you reckon it takes him to find him?
2 weeks.
Because you ask, it's short. Yeah. I would have thought...
I know,
it sounds
I think
like it should
weeks.
Be years, but I'm guessing it's going to be...
Months, maybe. You go months.
I'm going to say 6 weeks.
He found Anoda in 4 days.
Oh, fuck. That is short.
That's so awesome, isn't it?
Are you fucking kidding
Anoda!
Me?
Anoda! When Anoda... I'm not kidding. Just 4 days of yelling. It's so fucking
that's
great.
I mean, I wonder how long he would have tried
on
for.
A man that's been hiding for 29 years. When Anoda was first discovered, he was ready to shoot Suzuki at first sight. But fortunately, Suzuki had read all about him and quickly said, "Anoda-san, the emperor and the people of Japan are worried about you."
Oh.
And also, he's just a man on his own. It's not a big search party with guns. It's just some... He said, Anoda got talking to Suzuki, who he described as a hippie boy, and they became friends, to some degree.
How would he have known what a hippie boy was?
Hippies haven't changed that much.
He created the concept
since
of
the
hippies.
40s. Yeah, 40s hippies, very similar. Because you know how like fashion goes around in trends?
It's cyclical.
By the time it sort of had cycled around, the hippies were very similar in the 70s as they were in the 40s, which was lucky, actually. So he could identify him as a hippie boy.
Sick.
It's true, Matt.
I get it now. That is fascinating.
Yeah, see, I make some good points. I'm not just an obnoxious laugh.
No, you have so much more than that. You're also really dull points. I mean... good points or whatever you were saying. Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening.
So they became friends, Dave says, trying to defuse the situation. Friends much like Matt and Jess are sometimes. But
always, Dave.
But
at least from my angle, Jess's dagger eyes disagree.
But Anoda refused to surrender even though the war was well and truly over, he said he would have to surrender. He'd have to be ordered to surrender by one of his superior officers.
Who are all, it's like, retired.
So Suzuki returned to Japan with photographs of himself and Onoda as proof of their encounter, and the Japanese government located Onoda's commanding officer, Major Yoshimi Taniguchi, who had since become a bookseller. He's no longer in the army.
Also, do you think Suzuki at least took some spare clothes and some food for him? Like, or he's just like, okay, you good with that over there? I mean, I've got a tent here I brought with me, but are you good on that?
He was a hippie, Jess. He doesn't care about earthly possessions like clothes.
30 years later, I'm like, I don't fit into clothes that fit me a couple of years ago. Okay, I'm guessing you might need a change of clothes. Anyway, whatever, go on.
You're still growing, are you?
Yeah, I'm still growing. Mum had to take up all my pants.
Take them up.
You got smaller. You turned all your pants into shorts.
Yeah, I'm going little. I'm getting smaller.
I'm going little. I'm going to go little for a while. So that's like...
Mum, can you take up my pants? I'm not as long as I was in my early 20s.
Dave?
So they found the major. They flew him to Lubang, where on March 9th, 1974, he finally met with Onoda and fulfilled the promise made in 1944. Whatever happens, we'll come back for you.
Okay, 30 years later.
Onoda was thus properly relieved of duty and he surrendered. He'd been living in the jungle for over 29 years.
That's incredible.
Just 29. How does that make you feel?
Well, I can't even fathom that amount of time because I just haven't got there in my life yet.
But it's so close to us, round number. No,
would you have preferred if you'd waited to 30 years?
Absolutely, I would. Absolutely, I would. You know I would. Why are you joking?
He lived in the jungle more than you ever exist.
Yeah. It's insane. It's incredible.
It's crazy. He turned over his sword, his functioning rifle, which he'd kept in perfect working order.
But he held on to his non-functioning rifle. He will not let that go.
I will fix this.
His face is so sus. Ooh, interesting.
500 rounds of ammunition.
He still had 500 rounds.
And several hand grenades. I mean, an unlimited supply of hand grenades. Uh-huh. He handed that back. As well as the dagger his mother had given him in 1944 to kill himself if he was ever captured.
Sorry, Mum.
Remember, that's the crazy mum that instructed him to stab himself when he was 6.
Jesus.
Although he had killed many people, including innocent farmers, and engaged in shootouts with police, the circumstances, namely the fact that he believed the war was still going, were taken into consideration, and Onoda received a pardon from the Filipino president, Ferdinand Marcos. Onoda was so popular following his return to Japan that some Japanese people urged him to run for Japanese government. He decided not
what
to do this.
What skills would he have to be a politician? He'd hardly know how to talk
to
people.
He can't do anything.
He doesn't know what anything is.
Coconuts for all. Everyone gets a banana. One banana. Kill the farmers. They're undercover. He also released an autobiography called No Surrender, My 30-Year War. He was very famous, but he did not like what he saw. Japan had changed so much in 30 years.
Yeah.
He did not like the tall buildings, automobiles, or the culture he saw as the withering of traditional Japanese values.
Oh, it would have broken his heart.
It would, yeah.
Everything he was like, fighting for against the Americans.
So and then, yeah, and then it's all there.
It's all there. Like, the ideals that he'd held on to for 30 years, in the same fucking underpants. Now everyone's got these flash bloody Calvin Kleins on.
Japan recovered quite well from the Second World War as a losing... Because after the Second World War, there were some lessons learned after the First World War where the punishment really pushed... the losing nations into poverty and kind of brought on the Second World War. Is that right, Dave?
And also, I believe that Japan did quite well because one of the conditions was you're not allowed to have a big army anymore. So then they spent the money that was going into their big military on other stuff, which actually helped develop the economy quite well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. In April 9th, and also, you know, how Japan became quite, you know, a tech-savvy nation, leading the way in many things. Like I imagine because it's that kind of thing. But it's very different from 1945 Japan.
Yeah,
he remembered. In April 1975, he followed the example of his older brother and left Japan for Brazil, where he raised cattle and lived in a Japanese colony.
Wow.
He married the following year. Onoda returned to Japan in 1984 and established the Onoda Nature School, an educational camp for young people held at various locations in Japan. He revisited Lubang Island in 1996 and donated $10,000 for a local school there. I imagine that's a bit of a peace offering.
Sorry, but...
Sorry I shot your dad.
And setting fire to your house again. Whoops.
Old habits die hard. Burn the school! Onoda died of heart failure on the 16th of January 2014, aged 91. Which,
wait, what? 2014?
Not that long ago, yeah.
Which, 91.
Which says a lot about an all-coconut diet.
That was in our life.
Yeah, mate.
Like, nearly in the podcast life. The next year the podcast started.
We almost lived in the same universe.
Okay.
Crossover.
We still kind of did.
Did we though?
Do we do live outside the podcast. Nah, we don't.
Come on,
Jeff. Lol.
When asked if he...
Lol.
So before he...
pronounced lol weird.
Lol.
Lol.
That's how young people say it.
Oh.
Get with the times, Matt.
The old man.
I don't know what I was thinking, calling you out on how you pronounce a word.
That isn't a word.
I've never heard said out loud. Lol. That's not true. I've heard lol said a lot. What am I talking about? Lost it.
Let Dave talk.
I'm so close to the end.
Me too.
Yeah, you are. You're so old.
So old. End of it all.
Every time we come in here, it's like the podcast is your deathbed.
No. It feels like anyone could be the last.
But before he died, Onoda was asked if he regretted his decision to live in the jungle for nearly 30 years.
He said, fucking oath I did. Are you kidding me?
Onoda stated that his mind had been on nothing but accomplishing my duty. He regretted nothing and was proud of his choices.
That's incredible. I'd feel a little silly.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd feel a bit silly.
What, man? What was his days? Just, he gets up in the morning for 30 years and goes, all right, more war on. Let's get ready for war.
Let's get burning.
Empty houses. This will bloody bring us closer to the end.
Noda, why don't we sleep in the house and wear the clothes? Fucking burn it. Burn it all.
Insubordination.
I'll burn you. But did Suzuki ever see a panda or the abominable snowman?
Abominable.
After finding Onoda, Suzuki quickly found a wild panda and claimed to have spotted a yeti from a distance by July 1975, hiking in the Himalayas. He married in 1976, but did not give up on his quest. Suzuki died in November 1986 in an avalanche while searching for the yeti. His remains were discovered a year later and returned to his family.
Wow.
Fucking idiot. He died looking for the yeti. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. What a fucking imbecile.
Yeah.
Do you have a little
to
trick?
To believe in something.
Do you have
and
a trick
really
to say
it?
Imbecile? Jess? Imbecile?
I would never say something so offensive.
Well, you're fucking just as bad.
The only thing to add is that Onoda, who'd been out for nearly 30 years, he was the second last Japanese soldier or person for the Japanese army to surrender. Taro Nakamura, who was a Taiwanese man who fought for the Japanese army, was discovered hiding out in Indonesia a few months later.
Oh, he missed out by a couple of months.
He was the last man to surrender, but at the time he spoke neither Japanese or Chinese. He spoke the local Taiwanese language and decided to retire back to Taiwan. So he didn't get the big fanfare that Onoda did.
Wow.
So that's why and his story is quite interesting. So that's why he is probably the most famous of the
holdouts.
Japanese holdouts. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Japanese holdouts. You've listed all your band names on our Patreon newsletter last week, Dave. Maybe that'd be a good one. The Japanese holdouts.
Dave Warnke and the Japanese holdouts.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I mean, I also came up with it, so it makes sense, but that's a really good idea. Yeah, thank you.
Now, before we sign off on this week's episode, we've got to thank our Patreon supporters. Thanks everyone that supports us every single month. We do little bonus episodes. We have a newsletter that comes out. All this kind of extra stuff that you can get on patreon.com/dogoonpod if you support us. And one of those things is if you pledge a certain amount, we will give you a shout out, a personal thank you at the end of the episode. And I'm going to give one each now. And I would like to start proceedings, if I may.
Please proceed.
Have you guys heard of Alexander the Great?
Yeah.
Have you heard of William the Conqueror?
Yeah.
What if I was to tell you I found a man that was better than both of them put together?
G'day.
Dave, this segment isn't about talking about me. You should talk about one of the patrons.
Don't wink at me.
Matt, I'd like to thank not you, not Alexander the Great, not William the Conqueror, but Alexander Williams.
Ooh.
Thank you, Alexander Williams.
I see what you were doing there.
Are you giving me a thumbs down? Alexander Williams is a great guy. He supports us a lot, and I'd like to think that one day he will rule the known world just like Alexander the Great did.
Yeah, well, it's
too late for him to rule my known heart because he already does it.
What?
He rules my heart.
Cool, man.
Oh, you shut the fuck up. You get out. That's it. Nah, good on you.
Thanks.
Thanks for, you know, being here.
Mm.
And laughing sometimes, which is the thing that you do of value.
Just thank someone, Matt.
I'd like to thank someone, Dave. Would you mind if I just took a moment?
If you could just do it quickly.
This guy is a guy that he gets on us a bit. He's one of the buffest listeners we have.
Interesting.
Yeah, super buff.
He's buff.
Yeah, he's real buff.
That's my kind of guy.
Yeah, you love him, buff.
I love people that remind me of myself.
Yeah, it's like looking into a mirror. When you look at his profile picture, you're like, Am I replying to myself in this tweet?
I have caught myself saying that.
And, I mean, for that alone, Adam Stoltz, I would love to thank you.
Oh, Adam Stoltz.
But on your Stoltz.
For so much more. Thanks so much for the support and just, you know, having the ability to pull a granny out of a tree if she got stuck up there or whatever.
Could definitely do that. You could change a light bulb.
Oh, man. If he doesn't crush it with his bare hand.
Yeah. No, but he's gentle.
He's, well, that's the thing about him.
I would also like to thank someone, and it's such good timing as well, because we got a message last week from one of our listeners. I'm notoriously bad at these. You guys always come up with some sort of fun pun name or some sort of joke about it, and I'm really bad at it.
Wouldn't call it either it's probably a pun, but it's not fun nor a joke.
No, but my joke for today was Antiques Roadshow, so I'm not great at this.
I'm not great at this whole comedy podcast thing, but we're trying.
But I've been given permission by Sam Jones, who I would like to thank, who messaged us this week and said, I need to apologize in advance. I'm on Patreon and I can't help but notice my name does not lend itself to puns. So feel free to invent a suitable middle name if that helps.
Oh.
Okay.
Which I said, and I replied and I said, that is incredibly kind because I am bad at this. Thank you for that.
And you've had a bit of time to think about it by the sounds of it.
And so. I hadn't thought of anything because I don't have to, because Sam loves the podcast as it is.
Yeah.
And he recognized my flaw.
Mm-hmm.
The floor, the only one I have, floor. My pelvic floor.
He recognized it
from a picture. It's like, that's a Perkins pelvic floor. And he said, you know what, Jess, I love you anyway, how you are. You're bad at these thanks, but just make up a middle name. So his middle name's Reginald.
Oh, that's a great middle name.
That's good.
And thank you, Sam, because you are genuinely great. And you tweet to us a lot, and we SJ. Really appreciate your support, and you're great.
My pun would have been Sam of Thrones or Same,
oh, fuck off. Same, yeah, that's great.
Same of Jones.
Fuck, that's so good.
Is it?
Yeah, well, it's better than anything else I've ever thought of.
It's like Game of Thrones.
I would have just sent it. I would have been some sort of keeping up with him. I would have said something like, he's just so fast.
Yeah.
One thing I could never do is keep up with this guy.
Sure.
I'm jonesing for his support.
Okay, see, this is why you guys are all great at that, but Sam Jones recognizes that I'm not, and he says it's fine that I'm not, and I wish you guys would be as understanding as Sam Jones.
What I would have done.
I do like, the middle name Reginald is a great one, though.
Thanks, yeah, thanks.
That is better than anything I've ever said in my life, Jeff. So just fucking calm down for a minute, would you, and just appreciate the brilliance of your head. And you... face in your mouth that says the words. Tell me it doesn't. Your face says that your face doesn't, but your face is wrong because your face says it.
Please stop.
All right, I'm going to cut you both up there and say we're going to wrap it up there. Guys, thank you so much for listening.
This has been a weirder episode, listeners. Tell me I'm
late.
Wrong.
It's late.
Tell me I'm wrong. I dare you. Tweet me I'm wrong. You can't.
You can't.
I bet you won't.
That's just, you're begging for tweets.
Can you just let... let Dave wrap it up.
Look, I'm just going to say all the usual stuff, guys. Like, get in contact with us through, and you can suggest topics. You don't have to be on Patreon to suggest topics, but if you are there, you can vote on Matt's topics. He puts a vote out every single...
There'll be a vote out right now.
Every episode he does. Vote on that, and of course that's patreon.com/dogoonpod. We're on Facebook at dogoonpod, Instagram at dogoonpod, Twitter at dogoonpod. We throw out heaps of extra stuff every single week.
Jess_Perkins.
Tweets, little jokes, we do photos of dumb things that relate to the episode, so get involved in that.
We also have our individual shows, each of us. I'm Matt Stewart, that's Jess Perkins there that I'm pointing to, you can see in your mind. I wonder how do you picture this room? With a round table?
And I wonder if they picture the order we sit in.
Send your artist impressions to P.O. Box.
I genuinely love whenever we get fan art, but I'm not going to ask for it. That'd be weird and needy.
But I'm going to ask, if you actually do want to, would you send us a letter? Because I'm willing to set up a P.O. Box. Because
yeah,
I've wanted
fun.
One my whole life. I want to go to that little set of boxes with a key and like open it at like 3 a.m. Like, ooh.
But I find it stressful managing like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Now we're adding a whole new element.
Yeah, but you only have to reply once a month. You know, you go and you don't have to go all the time.
And also there would be unlikely to be more than one letter a month either. And also, but before that, leading up to that, the week before that, the festival starts, it is the Planet Broadcasting Podcasting Network launch in Hawthorne.
Right. It's March 25, Saturday afternoon. Lots of stuff going on. There's people from our podcast will be there. Filthy Casuals, Dragon Friends, Auntie Donna. We got James, Mr. Sunday Movies. We got Nick Mason, Mesa from the Weekly Planet.
And the fans of the Weekly Planet will know that that'll be the first time anyone will have seen his face publicly.
I'm excited to see his face.
I've never seen it. Matt has, but we
haven't. Seen his face.
He's a very good looking man. Mm. His hair wasn't as long and blonde as I always pictured it though.
It's annoying to have a good looking person hide their face. It's like I'm throwing mine out there all the fucking time. So
Dave, go on. You are gorgeous.
Thank you. Begging for compliments and they're always paid. Appreciate that a lot.
Dave. I think you're on the right track early. You hideous piece of shit.
Matt, always too truthful at the end of the show. All right, you can email us at dogoonpod@gmail.com. Get the ideas, any feedback you got. Tell us if you would write the letter. But until next week, we will say thank you and we will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye. Antics Roadshow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.